It's Bill Buckley here, and it's time for our technological angel, the one, the only, Mr. Fevzi Turkalp is with us. Morning, Fevzi. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good.
Can I put that on my bio or something? Technological angel.
Yeah, well, also, of course, sometimes you're our technological devil because you have taken in the last few weeks to taunting us here as you've been tucking into all kinds of different cakes.
Well, you see, I had pledged, I'm now contractually obliged not to mention said comestible.
Right.
And now you've done it.
Well, I've done it because it just so happens that today, some of my colleagues were in a sort of a pub quiz thing during the week and won a cake. And some of that cake was still in the fridge. And therefore, Ed and I have both been eating it. So
excellent.
You can't hurt me today, Fevzi. I just wanted you to know that.
You switched the tables. Can I ask what sort of cake it is?
Yes, it's a kind of cake I've never encountered before. Be interested to know whether you have. It's called a smash cake. Have you ever heard of a smash cake?
No, I've heard of a smash dessert, but it's not a cake.
Well, it would be similar, I imagine. It's basically, it's a great big cluster of chocolate and Maltesers and all kinds of other bits, finger wafers and all kinds. And it's all kind of stuck together. I mean, it seems to me to be the cake for people who don't want any cake and have no baking skill, really. Which is not to say it's not delicious, obviously, because it's made of chocolate mainly. And it comes with a little gavel, little hammer. And you basically smash it up, and then bits fly off everywhere and end up bouncing off the tiled walls of the kitchen here onto the floor, and then you can't eat them. But the actual topic, the actual substance of it was very nice. So there we
are. You won't be old enough to remember this, but back in the day when I was a boy, when you used to go into sweet shops, you used to get toffee and brittle toffees, and the shopkeeper used to take out a little metal hammer and break bits of this sheet of toffee. So sort of, I don't know exactly
Absolutely.
What it was, like a brittle thing. He used to break it off and he used to weigh it.
It's so true. Yeah, Thornton's used to do it. Thornton's chocolate cabins, after everybody else had stopped doing it, to sort of be a bit more
retro.
Heritage and to be retro, they carried on doing it for quite a long time. So even mere wisps of boys like me do remember the little toffee hammer. Yes, yes. I suppose we ought to do some tech, hadn't we? Do you think we should do some tech?
I suppose we could. I was thinking of changing it over and just stopping the pretense that this is now a tech slot. And
the confectionery hour.
The confectionery hour.
But no. What is your tech story of the week?
Right, okay, so this is a follow-on from something we talked about last week where we said that the NHS had a lot of its systems down and we weren't quite sure why. It's now been confirmed that it was a ransom and is a ransomware attack. Not necessarily directly to the NHS, but one of the NHS's suppliers, providers of services, which is even worse because we've often heard of the NHS being hacked and its systems going down, and I've said to you in the past that the reason, or large part of the reason for that, is not just because they're targeting it, but it's running old software. It's running a lot of Windows 7 machines and old technology that is hard, if not impossible, to secure. But this is someone that they're paying to provide this service. It's not like the monolith that is the NHS with all the problems that get. One of the benefits of going outside for these sorts of services is meant to be that you get state-of-the-art technology that you can't have inside. And the fact that this has happened it's affected NHS patient check-ins, it's affected NHS 111, and I will tell you a personal experience of that in a moment. And it says it's going to take them 3 or 4 weeks to fully recover.
Gosh.
Now, the nature of ransomware attacks, for those that don't know, is where a system is a computer, a single computer, or in this case a network of computers, is compromised, is infected with some sort of virus, computer virus. And that virus will secretly scramble all the data before it declares itself. And once all the data is scrambled and they hold the only key to the unscrambling the data, then they ransom your data back to you. And so this is a big problem. Even American law enforcement has been caught paying these ransoms.
Gosh.
And, you know, the problem with ransoms is you know, you pay them, you just encourage the behavior.
It's never enough, yeah.
So this, and I just want to say, because the NHS made a statement saying that the disruption is minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you, I had calls to ring 111 yesterday, and I held for guess how long?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. 35 minutes.
7 hours.
Wow.
I held for seven hours and then the battery on my phone ran out and I couldn't recharge it without disconnecting the call. I never actually got through. So effectively, there was, at least in my area, there was no 111 service for 7 hours and probably the whole day and longer. And that's just a disgrace because what happens is, you know, if that happens over a weekend, you can't get in touch with your GP, you can't get 111. What do you do? People start calling 999.
Or going to A&E. Both of which we're told not to do.
Or walking into A&E, and in these extreme heats, you know, particularly vulnerable people, you know, are going to die if they haven't already. It's quite shameful, and for them to say that the disruption is minimal is dishonest. Frankly, just by my own experience, it's not minimal. I've never ever waited 7 hours for anything and then not got through. It was only 7 hours because the battery died at that point. Yeah. I had a fully charged handset and it just died and there's nothing I could, you know, do beyond that. It says an NHS psychiatrist who wished to remain anonymous told the BBC that the attack left his team making clinical decisions nearly blind. And I do know that from other reports that when you do get through to 111, they haven't got access to your medical records, which again makes decision making really difficult because patients are complicated sometimes. Why is this? Okay, that's a terrible story, but why cover this? Why is it a technical story? It is this, and it's also a lesson for us on an individual basis. The NHS gets attacked, individuals get attacked. Your smartphone or your desktop computer can be, or your laptop can be attacked. So what is the best defence? Of course we need to have, you know, antivirus and all of that, but still, things can still get through. The best defence against ransomware attacks is up-to-date backups of everything that you can't afford to lose. If these people had backups, I'm assuming they don't have full backups, and I'm not at all sure that they're not negotiating and paying ransoms. It's not clear where they are. But if you have a backup, and if that backup is secure and not connected to the computer, you know, after the backup is completed, then you can stick two fingers up at them and reinstate your backup. Okay, they've got your data.
Simple,
and if
basic.
Well, it's still not no harm.
Practice, but, you know, simple theory. Go on, carry on.
Yeah, well, most people are still using Windows. Windows and, in fact, Apple Macs have got built-in backup software in them. You can buy more advanced stuff if you want to, but it's built into the operating system, and there's really no reason for not doing it. So the two types of backups that we should look at are a physical backup, where you connect an external drive, you know, via USB cable, you back up everything, and then you disconnect it. Why do you disconnect it? Because if the backup is connected when the machine gets infected, they will scramble the backup as well. So the best thing is you disconnect it, and ideally you encrypt it so no one else can read it, and then you give it to someone you trust, or you take it to another site. Why do you do that? If there is a break-in, if there is a fire, there is a flood, you will lose your backup most likely at the same time as you lose your laptop. You know, if you've got it on your desk next to it and someone, God forbid, breaks in, they'll steal the backup drive as well as the laptop. So you do that, and then that helps protect you against all sorts of risks, not just ransomware attacks. So we should be doing that. I have been caught out. I'm not being sort of holier than thou when I say this. Everyone's been caught out at some point. But this is on the rise. Ransomware is extremely profitable and more profitable every year. And it's encouraging more and more criminals to go into this. So we have to, you know, take measures to protect ourselves, just like we're putting, you know, locks on our doors and alarms in our houses. We have to do this as well.
Okay. And I'm not asking what it was, but just hoping, Fevzi, that whatever the issue was that you needed help with has resolved okay.
Yeah, luckily the person didn't die in the meantime. But for the grace of God, right? I mean, it's appalling. I've never said so many bad words in a short period of time.
Oh, I don't know. You've come fairly close once or twice. It's Bill Buckley with you. Fevzi Turkamp, the Gadget Detective, is also here. You'll find him on Twitter, @GadgetDetective. And you can also listen to his podcasts for free. GadgetDetective.com to find those, or via the lady whose name begins with an A, who you shout at and she does things for you. You know the one. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many other sources. Right, on to Gadget of the Week. Fevzi Turkamp, what have you got?
Okay, so this is a topical gadget. There's only one this week. It's from De'Longhi, the Italian company, and it's a portable air conditioning unit.
Ah,
it's called the Pinguino Pace X 130. Now, I will warn you now, this particular one is top of the range, and therefore is not cheap. It's a shade under £1,000 at list.
Ooh, right.
Their range starts at about 500. There are other brands as well that, you know, or kind of, I think I found with air conditioning units, there's a lot of ones that have these sort of no-brand brands, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And while some of them can be okay, an air conditioning unit is an important piece of kit. It can be, you know, in some cases life-saving. But you need something that's going to be reliable, backed by a decent retailer and backed by a decent warranty. I'm not saying De'Longhi is the only one that provides that, but I think that's something, you know, potentially worth paying for. But when you choose a portable air conditioning unit, okay, so first of all, we have to differentiate. There are things called air coolers that mm-hmm. are effectively fans with the ability to evaporate water and therefore, you know, produce a cooled stream. Some of them you even put ice in. They're fine, but, you know, they're not really able to cool a room. They can just cool you when you stand in front of it. And yeah. also they add, what they do is they add to the humidity because they're evaporating water. So, you know, what you win on the one side, you lose on the other. So an air conditioning unit uses a refrigerant. It is what we think of as air conditioners. A portable one is a freestanding unit on wheels. This one's heavy. I mean, the good ones are heavy. It's 32 kilos, mm-hmm. but you can roll it around on wheels. So this is not a small device. It's, you know, 3 foot something tall. And it has to be placed near a window because you have to vent it. You get a hose to vent it out of the window, effectively, and that gives you about...
Oh, like the old days of tumble dryers with the elephant's
trunk. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, but what's nice about this one, and I'll come to the main features, but what's nice about this one in terms of venting is you get a kit for your window. So let's say you've got a sash window. You open the window, you know, a few inches, and then you put in this thing that's effectively like a plastic plank, but it's got a hole in it cut to the size and shape of the hose.
Mm-hmm.
So it will allow you to vent out with no hot air coming back in. Because if you just open the window and sit the hose out the window, then, you know, the warm air from outside plus what you're expelling, a portion of that will come back in again. It's not really effective. So it's nice that it has that, because often you pay sort of £100-150 just for the kit. So that has it built in. So one of the things you look at is how powerful is it and what size of room can it cool. There's no point in getting something that's too small. And these are room coolers, right? You're not going to cool a whole house with this. Maybe an apartment, but not a house. And they are rated in what's called BTU, British Thermal Units. This one is 13,000, which is high. And it allows you to cool a room of up to 120 cubic metres. And I sort of did some sums of what that might be. So if we assume that the height of our ceiling is, say, 2.5 metres tall,
mm-hmm.
that would give us a room of up to about 7 meters square, or 23 feet square. Oh, so that's quite,
should be enough for most people.
Quite large, yeah. And even if you've got an older house and a 3 meter thing, you know, you still got a, you know, six meter square room. So you need to do that. And what I would say is, you know, when you do the calculation and see what power you need, just add a bit on extra. Because, you know, the room's not going to be perfectly sealed and you don't want the machine to struggle.
Right.
If the machine struggles, it won't be effective and it will reduce the working life of the machine. This particular one is a 3-in-1 appliance. So it's got an air conditioning unit. It's got a dehumidifier built in, which, you know, we mentioned the importance before, because what makes us feel hot isn't only temperature, it's also humidity. If there is too much moisture in the air, our skin cannot properly cool itself by sweating. Yeah, because it doesn't evaporate. So this thing can extract up to 36 litres of water in a 24-hour period. So that's rather good. And it's also got a fan-only mode, so when you don't want to go to the cost or the noise of running a air conditioning unit all the time, the fan is also efficient. It's got some nice additional features. It's got Wi-Fi. This particular one, I did say it's top of the range. It's got Wi-Fi capability, which allows you to control the device. It comes with a remote control, so you don't have to use an app. But when you use the app, you can use the app at home and set all them, you know, many settings on it. But you can also operate it from wherever you are.
Oh, very nice. Know. Before you leave work, pop it on, do an hour before you get home.
Exactly. Yeah. It also has geofencing. If you want to be really smart about it, let's say you drive home and you don't want to sort of stop your journey and switch on the air conditioner when you're sort of 20 minutes out or whatever, it can detect your position. And when you get within a certain range of your home, it can automatically switch itself on.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. It's got a built-in thermostat, which you know, any air conditioner should have, because that means that you can say, okay, I want the room temperature to be, mm-hmm. let's say, 22 degrees, mm-hmm. and it will try to do its best to maintain that. It's also got a 24-hour timer. One of the features I liked on this one particularly is it's got something, this is their trademark name, it's called Cool Surround. One of the problems I've had with air conditioners is that you're either baking or you're getting blasted with icy air, and people can actually get ill by, you know, being all sweaty and then standing in front of an air conditioner. This thing, it's hard to explain. Imagine it kind of trying to surround you with cool air, like a bubble of cool air around you. So some of it goes up and some of it goes down. It doesn't all blast at you. It kind of tries to work around you. And it's a more comfortable and I think a safer experience as well. Also, it's got the ability to be controlled by voice from your smart speaker. So the Amazon units and the Google Assistant units can, if you've got one of those smart speakers in your home, you can control it that way. No air conditioning unit is very, very, very quiet. None of them are, you know, silent, certainly. This one can produce up to 65 decibels in noise. To give you an idea, 60 decibels is about the volume of normal conversation. So it's not quiet. But it has a sort of what they call a sort of silent slash sleep mode, where it's much quieter than that. So this price, £980-odd, you can find it for a bit less. Air conditioners are kind of out of stock in a lot of places at the moment, but you can still get them. But I would say, you know, maybe if you don't buy one now, if you think the worst of it's over or you can't get one at the moment, maybe buy one during the winter months because they're more available and cheaper.
Yes.
4.5 stars out of 5.
Oh, that's as high as he ever goes. This is a winner.
Yeah, but as I said, if you don't need all those bells and whistles, and particularly if the room that you need to call isn't as large as I've suggested this one can do, then the Longi range starts at, I think, £499. You know, and you can get them discounted if you buy it at the right time as well. I think it's not great sort of energy-wise. I mean, all air conditioning units use quite a bit of power. But I think the idea is, you know, you don't have to use it all the time. Some of us have got, like, vulnerable family members who you know, frankly, can expire in extreme heat.
Good.
So it can be really important, even if it's just one room.
And did I write the name down? Pinguini 1X130, is that right?
Yeah, it's a De Longhi Pinguino.
I didn't do my O properly. Yeah.
No, it's my fault. And then PACEX 130 portable air conditioning unit. So you can check it on there. I looked it up on Amazon. They're listing it, but it's out of stock there. But it is in stock elsewhere.
Stay cool. Talk to you in 7 days. Thank you so much.